Hello, everyone, and welcome to Horrorsperia. My name is May, and today I am so excited because this is a very special episode. I talk about these folks all the time on the podcast, which I don't even think they know. I try to bring it up every episode because I'm such a huge fan. But today we're doing a special episode on Final Girls Film Festival based in Berlin, Germany. And I have the founders with me. So everyone, please welcome Sarah and Ellie. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
You guys are the founders of the festival, right?
Yeah, we started it together with another friend of ours, Lara Mandelbrot, but she stopped, she discontinued with us after the second edition. Or was it the third edition?
Third, I think, named the festival, actually.
I mean, that's incredible to be sitting with, but mainly because this festival has sort of just grown to become such like an icon in the horror community itself. So I can't wait to hear about the journey that you guys have taken to get here. But first, I would love if both of you could talk a little bit about yourselves personally and maybe how the idea of Final Girls Film Festival came to be.
I'm Ellie. Hi. I've been living in Berlin for a long time. Moved around a lot as a kid, but I've been here pretty much my whole adult life. And I'm an avid horror fan, always have been. And Sarah and I were friends. Or maybe just about me. Like I translate. I'm an editor, a podcaster, curator person, I guess. And yeah, and Sarah and I were friends, and we both kind of connected on over our love for horror, kind of heard through the grapevine, I mean, Sarah did actually, about this burgeoning festival that was happening, a feminist horror festival, and it just seemed like kind of too good to be true. And we kind of connected to it real quick. This was in late 2016, and we had our very first festival in February 2017, so like no time to prep. It was all very chaotic, and we didn't really quite know what we were doing yet. We knew that we were passionate about it enough to make it work, and that's how we started.
That's awesome, right? So, and Sarah, a little bit about you. So you two were friends beforehand. Did you guys, I know Sarah's from Philadelphia, so how did you two meet?
I moved here in 2012. I was studying film, like film studies, film theory and stuff, but I was not super serious about continuing in academia. Like I came as a student and with a research grant in that direction, but then I just sort of was like, no, this is too rigid for me and I can't continue in it anymore. And I mostly focused on drumming. That's my other pursuit, is I play the drums in a few bands and I teach the drums mostly to women and non-binary people. But I was always continuing in like different sort of underground film pockets of Berlin. And that was also what I really liked about Berlin when I first came here, was that there are so many little underground festivals and film clubs and just independent cinemas that have like one or two screens that are really, that have their own personality and their own sort of curatorial focuses, that I just found them really inspiring. And that was what made Berlin like a really comfortable fit for me. And so I did Queer Film Club here for 6 years, pretty much starting immediately when I moved here. I like went to a screening and met a few of my closest friends, and we continued the Queer Film Club together for several years. I mean, until 2018, I guess. And then I was also volunteering at some queer film festivals and things like that. But horror has always been one of my like number one passions, because my mother was totally into it. And like we watched horror films together from the time I was like 9 years old. And I met Ellie soon after I moved here by a totally funny coincidence, which was that I was Googling top 10 most emotionally devastating films. Who knows why? As one does, right? One does this on a Saturday night. And I just found a list with that exact wording on one blog called Scopophilia, and that was Ellie's blog. And she happened to live right here in my city in Berlin. So I just like cold called her, you know, or wrote her one day and was like, we have to be friends. We have to watch movies together. And that's what we did. So we just became film friends like right away and started going to festivals together and stuff. And yeah, with Final Girls, I found out about Lara because of a mutual filmmaker friend, Julia Ostertag, whose film we showed in our first edition. And she said, hey, this girl, Lara, just asked me to show a film in her first festival, and you should totally link up with her. And it was just like this totally like sort of surprise, organic community connection where I knew this cool filmmaker and I liked her work. And then she introduced me to someone cool who was doing something in horror. And it was just immediately like, okay, we have to work together. We have to collaborate. And yeah, and I knew that Ellie would be perfect for this as well because of our shared interest in horror cinema and in feminist cinema. So yeah, within the first like month of its inception, the three of us were working together, and that's how Final Girl started.
That's so fascinating. And also like a twist of fate. I think the story sounds familiar. So I think you might've told me it when we were at the festival in February, but you know, I'm such a big believer in fate, and I feel like, I mean, it's grown to be such a beautiful thing. So it's like, you know, what a wonderful fated meet cute. And also like, bold of you, Sarah. I'm not sure if I would have. I mean, maybe. I definitely have had like coincidental meetups like that in the DC area as well. So it's really cool.
It wasn't just the name of the list. Like every film on it was like an obscure film that I loved.
Like, that's amazing.
This like heartrending adolescent horror story called Lilia Forever. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't, no.
That was on the list. I don't think I've talked about it with anyone since ever. But like, there's just these random things. Then there was another list that had Dogtooth on it. And right. I think a list that had Welcome to the Dollhouse on it. Maybe Ghost World was on one of the lists.
You knew she was your people.
There's all of these films where I was just like, that's a weird ass film that I love. That's another weird ass film that I love. And like, it would have been impossible not to write her, basically.
That's amazing. That's truly great. Well, that's also sort of a good segue. Maybe I should have started with this question first, like, what is Final Girls Film Festival, right? So for those that may not have heard of your festival before, do you all mind talking about, like, what's the goals, what it's all about, so on and so forth?
It's pretty simple, really. We want to highlight horror films made by women and non-binary filmmakers, films that are either directed, written, or produced. Of course, we prefer really the direction, and it can be all types of things that are horror or horror adjacent as well. We have quite a broad difference. You probably noticed being there that we also show unconventional horror, let's say. We were inspired by Women in Horror Month. That's why we have it in February. Now I think it's changed to March this month, but we're going to keep it in February, I think, which is this network of also like very much a social media thing and a DIY zine initiative. Yeah, women kind of highlighting women, like women horror and what they do, connecting together. So there are different women in horror festivals around the world, but there were no festival like this in Germany or even I think in Central Europe, really. And now we exist.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's right now, I think it's also one of the few surviving ones because a few have closed down due to the pandemic. And so right now you guys started in 2016. That means that you're in your eighth edition. Yeah.
2023 will be our eighth. Yeah.
That is wild. How does that feel? Like, Did you all hope it would be a long-term thing when you started in 2016, or like, has it exceeded your expectations? Do you talk a little bit about that if you don't mind?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think as soon as we started it, I just kind of immediately felt such a deep connection to the subject matter and felt that it felt super like touching my core when we were just getting these films sent to us that were like extremely cutting edge, like daring, usually very like feminist in an unexpected, unconventional way. That was, you know, like expressing stories that we just weren't seeing. Like there was no voice, there was no platform for these voices. And, you know, many of them were not in a position to receive feature film funding. And if they would, then there's no way these feature films would be reaching an audience or like be finding funding or distribution for such a thing. So it just felt like this was like a really kind of amazing, privileged place to be receiving these films from these filmmakers and have access to such an amazing breadth of cinema and like to be able to help to bring that out. So Like from the very beginning, I was just like, wow, this is incredible. Like, how did we tap into this? Like, that's awesome. And like it, so it feels really kind of like just necessary and urgent. And like, I, you know, not to say like, oh, we're so important, but like, it feels like important work to get this, to get these films shown.
But you are important. Like, own it, because I mean, yeah, that's, I think, the incredibly magnificent thing about your festival. And when I went to Germany to be a part of your festival this time, I had no idea what to expect. And I wouldn't say I was skeptical, more like I was really nervous. Because I was like, I've never even been to a festival like that in the United States, right? And just being there was such a communal and beautiful thing. And you guys do a really great job of cultivating a really beautiful atmosphere, especially, I mean, this last time was a little bit during the Omicron wave. I was like expecting you guys to cancel at any minute. I was so nervous.
We were too.
Yeah, but once there and like experiencing it and whatnot, it's just sort of like, and I've said this before on the podcast, it's sort of like I just want it to happen again, because I get so frustrated and disappointed by most horror spaces and most horror films nowadays. Anyway, I just went on a big rant yesterday. So yeah, you guys are important, and like, it's because there aren't that many spaces like this anymore, period, in the world, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it is a really beautiful community experience as well. Like, I mean, of course, especially during the pandemic, when we've been largely isolated and just like hungry for like genuine contact, like the festival did feel like, wow, this is such an amazing like abundance of like wonderful people who are here to engage. You know, people, they don't just, I mean, yes, some people just come for the movies, but a lot of people really come and engage, and they like, yeah. Sit down in the lounge and have conversations with each other and talk to us and talk to the filmmakers. Like when filmmakers come, that makes us super happy as well. And we're getting more and more. And even during the pandemic, we were just like, wow, some filmmakers came. That's amazing. Like, and it wasn't even that few. It was actually kind of our usual number of filmmakers.
I think it's funny that you mentioned the bit about people are just like lounging, because I thought that was actually like really cute, because I would like go to see a movie and then I would go outside and there would be like 20 people just chilling by the, and I mean, 20 is an exaggeration. It was like 5 or 6, but it like, you know, people just wanted to be in that atmosphere. And I think that's really, I mean, that almost is like the win, right? People wanting to be there because it's such a good and fun space. But to back up a little bit, obviously you guys are based in Germany, which Germany has some really great incentives for like culture industries, cultural formations. But I would love if you all could speak a little bit about how you like literally got started. What I mean by that is, say someone is listening to this and is like, oh wow, well maybe I might want to start a film festival for a certain niche. Do you mind maybe speaking a little bit about the logistics of that?
I would say it's changed quite a bit. Like our first one or two editions were, you know, we didn't get funding. We didn't actually even apply really. And we got like a little bit, like a little art fund here and there, but nothing that could really, you know, make it maybe what we wanted it to be at that point. We self-financed at that, you know, a little bit. And then we were able to get some of that money back because we also, because of our submissions, you know, on Film Freeway, which is open, by the way. We, if people are keen on submitting.
Worth mentioning that Film Freeway was an important entry, like that was an important starting point for us.
Yeah, that kind of knowing that it exists and knowing that a lot of people know about it.
I mean, it's pretty exclusive now. I mean, I don't think like any, no matter the size, everyone uses Film Freeway.
Yeah, there used to be Without a Box, which we also used a little bit, but then it stopped.
It got bought by Amazon and yeah, it stopped.
And there's also like a European kind of Spanish one, Fest Home, that we also stopped using because we just, I mean, for our, it just didn't seem like worth it. So we didn't get that many from there. As time went on, we decided to go for it and apply for funding. The first kind of state funding we got was from like a women's fund, like women's initiatives. So that was helpful, but also like on a smaller side. And then we went the year after that, we went for like the bigger kind of state funding, which really allowed us then to seek out bigger films because, you know, we have to pay for screening fees.
Right.
And invite people like you, things like that. So it kind of grew, and also pay ourselves a little bit. That's where we are now. That's what we're applying for.
Yeah, at the beginning, we would regularly write to filmmakers or to their companies and ask for films. And then the price would just be like way out of our range. And sometimes we would write back, hey, we're an independent self-funded festival. Can you lower the fee?
Yeah.
And sometimes they would and sometimes they wouldn't. So we had limitations in terms of what we could show. And now with the funding, we can essentially show what we want. Like sometimes if the price is like vastly higher than the average, we'll be like, no, that's too high. Please consider lowering it. Like, but in general, it's nice to be able to also pay fairly, you know, to what these distribution companies are asking. Like, we want these films to also be taken seriously on the professional circuit. So it feels good to be able to pay what's being asked as well. And moving forward, we also, in our next application, we are including funding for the short filmmakers, which is not common at all. In independent film festivals, usually short filmmakers are not paid, which we're guilty of in the past as well, of course, but we think that that should change as well. You know, this, it would be great if all filmmakers at all stages of their career can experience the acceptance of their film into a festival, not just as like a, you know, I feel like it almost seems like a form of charity or something, but actually it's like, no, we want to compensate you for your work. Like this is a valuable contribution as well. So yeah, these things are becoming more possible as we're getting more established. Of course, you know, knock on wood, we have to see how the next application goes, but we have some reserves as well in case it doesn't come through.
The thing, we also have that. We have, if we don't get funding this next year,
we can still make it happen.
Yeah, it'll be like a limited kind of fest, but yeah, we will still be able to do it. I'm also going to mention something that's, I guess, changed is that we are able to also show premieres, you know, German premieres, Berlin premieres, which is like great, but also kind of shocking sometimes that these films are just otherwise not shown, even though they're so great, you know. So it really shows like what the landscape is like, you know, that we are needed. And also like that there's just like this sort of this huge, you know, amount of films that are very much deserving of this.
And also in terms of just to continue with the question of how someone can get started, like also just looking at what other film festivals are doing. And like, this is something that Ellie's super active in, is scouting films, contacting filmmakers directly or their distribution companies that we are seeing at other festivals we admire. So like, you have to kind of do a lot of studying of the programs of other festivals, and then you get an overview of what's happening on the circuit. One other thing, contacting venues. Sorry, I just wanted to like, since we're in this kind of list of like, what do you do to start a festival, right? Think of where you'd like to hold it. Go and talk to the directors of different cinemas or different event spaces and ask what it would cost, right? Like, would there be a split for ticket sales? Would you have to pay a rental fee up front, right? So these are just questions that we've had to, you know, we have to like figure out what was most feasible for us with different spaces. And there were spaces in the past where we weren't big enough to be at those spaces yet, right? Like there was some trial and error. Some were too small for us. Some were too big for us. Some were too expensive. And finally we found what's just right. Right. So City Kino Vetting is working nicely for us in terms of having lots of space and being flexible, and also letting us also profit from what's happening there. So it's nice. It's working out.
What a great answer from both of you. Teamwork, right? But I think one thing that I think is just remarkable about what you all just said is that, I mean, first off, you know, you guys started off with self-funding, and then you did get a big boost with the cultural funds from Germany and Berlin. But you've also, I mean, you've also done like the thing that creatives don't want to do. You've learned how to manage the business side well enough that, as you just said, you know, if you don't get the funding from the government this year, you still think you can hit the goals that you want to hit. And I'm sure that that must feel awesome, though I'm sure there was also a lot of trial and error to get to that point as well, where you felt like it might be a profitable and fair festival, right?
If we were to spend our money this time around, we'd probably be end up with not much left. So that is a bit of a scary prospect. But yeah, it is good to know that we have that and that we it's like precious in a way. We don't like touch it unless we really, really have to. Also, like, you know, with state funding, there are just certain regulations. You really have to not earn anything from that, basically. And if you do, you have to like give it back to the fund, which we've had to do. You know, yeah, trial and error. And also we're planning on hopefully getting like a tax advisor and things like that for our fest purposes next time, just to make it also so it's not just on us, because we're none of us are really, you know, financial pros or whatever, business people. So it'd be nice. I mean, we've done it. It's fine, you know, but it'd be nice to just have someone in charge of that and, yeah, be able to kind of give that to someone.
This is more of a curious question, mainly because I don't know how it works, but have you all ever received any feedback from the state itself, like saying, oh, this is like awesome or whatnot, or is it just like a really cut and dry process?
It's a good question. Hasn't there been someone who attended once in like 2019 or something? Like somebody from a funding body came out? Or am I just totally fantasizing about that?
I don't think so. I think just the fact that they approve us, I guess, is like they're like, okay, what you do is worthy of us. You
know, worthy. No, I mean, that's fair. That's what matters.
You know, also like in Germany, they're not so effusive with like, you know, being so complimentary and things. So I wasn't
that's fair.
Necessarily expecting, you know.
I mean, we do get some like mainstream, like relatively mainstream media coverage, like in certain newspapers and magazines that are, you know, speaking highly about our programs. So I think all these things kind of work together, right? Like we of course share the press links each year. So they see this and they're, it's kind of like a feedback loop of like, okay, this is being recognized. We're going to recognize it. I don't know. I wish it weren't so much like that. Like it should be possible also outside of that kind of like higher up recognition to still make these things happen. But it does help.
No, it does. And I mean, also, that's how people find out about your programs, right? Is press, whether we like it or not, does help. So that's really awesome.
Every press. Like every single thing we receive, we're celebrating. So yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you put out the first few editions of the fest seemed like very DIY, very maybe I've never looked back, but probably maybe like rough around the edges and whatnot. Can you maybe talk about the progress you felt that has happened across the 8 editions? And you can answer that in any way that you want, whether that's talking about how it felt beginning or maybe if there was a point where it felt like the tide was shifting a little bit, like in your favor. Do you mind talking a little bit about how like orienting yourself in this journey has been like and what experiences you may have had?
I feel like because we started out, we were both film buffs, but we didn't really know what to expect. You know, we didn't know what was going to come at us. I think just learning like what, a little bit more like what kind of things to, you know, expect, what do we prioritize? Like, you know, I think when we watch a film, it's like, it should work on its own parameters, you know? So if it's like a really kind of, you know, DIY, fun, punky film, we like that. If it's good on it, on, you know, on that level, we would accept it. But if, so we kind of, we do pride ourselves, I think, in kind of having this full spectrum of like more, you know, very like first time filmmaker, original thinkers, you know, and then also the more sleek, you know, films like Saint Maud or, you know, like feature films that, and I think we are all obviously more forgiving, I guess you could say, when it comes to short films. I think with feature films, we need to be very enthusiastic about it to show it because it is much more of a commitment also for the audience.
At the same time though, like when you said we're forgiving of the short films, we're definitely getting less and less forgiving, I think. I mean, yes, it's fair enough to say that, yeah, we have a very broad definition of compelling filmmaking, right? Like it doesn't need to be have a high production value, or like narrative doesn't necessarily correspond to quality, but like, yeah, there are many things that can work. But I think like we used to be more accepting of like very uneven films where maybe it had something good, but it was too long, or it had a really strong ending, but you know, but meandered, and again, that's kind of the same thing. But I feel like we're not doing that anymore. Like, we have such an amazing amount of like just excellent submissions. Like, there's such a high amount of them because we're getting more and more each year, that we do have to make the tough cuts more and more. Like, we used to kind of just be like, no, it would be great to like let this first-time filmmaker have a place in our festival and so on, even if their film was a little too rough around the edges. And now it really has to have something like super redeeming about it. Like, we have to be extremely enthusiastic about something about the film, right? I think, maybe, I don't know if you agree, Ellie, on all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's like case by case, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, like we have long discussions about the films, and we have more people on the team now to give feedback as well. So it goes through, I think, a more rigorous process. Like, the films that we select do go through a more rigorous process, and we have so many more of them. So, and we're still trying to show roughly, you know, 8 short film programs of a similar length. So it does get more selective each year in that sense. And I'm happy about that. Like, because I remember in the last three, four years, there would still be some films where I'd be like, oh, I wish we didn't choose that. Because when you're watching it at home and then you're watching it with an audience, you have a very different experience, actually. And watching a film with an audience, you just have a totally, like, different things are at work in your brain. You're, like, imagining how other people are relating to it and how it's playing in the room, how it's playing in the context of the program that maybe, you know, you didn't see it in the context of the program when you, you know, programmed it originally when you first picked it. So I do think we're getting to that point where it's like, no, only really excellent films are passing through.
And it's really also like a reflection of our specific tastes. Like, I feel like we have also said no to films, big films that a lot of like the major festivals said yes to, you know? So it's really like, it's us. Mm-hmm. Basically. Like, so if you trust our taste, you'll like coming, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it'll be something like there's one shitty, unquestioned element, you know, like the film will have, it'll be funny, it'll be like, it'll have great effects, all these things will be working about it. But then there will just be something in the writing that's a little too like unreflected on, you know what I mean? Like reproducing some kind of power structure that we're not happy about, or like there's some kind of like, maybe like a character who's belittling of, I don't know. I'm failing to think of a good example, but we've had these situations before where it's like, oh, this was a great film. Too bad everyone was just so shitty to each other, but in a way that was like, not actually calling anything into question, right? Where it was just like shitty behavior that we just didn't want to show in this film because it was not actually leading to any further critique. So these kinds of things have like, we've become more and more attuned to these things, I think.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is that it sort of is a great thing that you guys kind of struggle with a lineup now, struggle in the sense that like, oh, what do we cut? Because that is what makes, or that's what sets you all apart, right? We could have, because otherwise I feel like, or, you know, the chauvinistic response is like, oh, woman made horror, like, oh, it's all the same. But no, it's like, no, Final Girls has its own specific thing. Axe Wound has its own specific thing, right? And I think I could definitely feel that watching the lineup, even though there was such a really big range, I could feel like, oh yeah, like you guys are into transgressive filmmaking. And that's like super exciting, you know, to me. And yeah, so I think it's a really great thing. Maybe to like narrow down a more specific question, I'm going to make you choose. Do either of you have like a highlight from all of the previous editions where like it could either be like, oh my God, like I can't believe we landed this, or maybe it was just like a really special experience, a communal thing that happened? Do you mind talking about maybe like your crown jewel moment so far of running the festival?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there are a lot of them. in a way. But when you asked the question, the first thing that came to mind for me was the screening of Tigers Are Not Afraid, Issa Lopez's film.
Amazing.
We showed that.
Yeah, she came.
Yeah, no, she came.
No, the producer came. The producer came.
I mean, that's still amazing. That's still amazing. That was my favorite movie that year, and it's still one of my favorite all-time horrors. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a packed room, and you know, still kind of middle, like it was early-ish days for us, or you know, kind of, and it just felt and everyone, like the team was really gracious. I think it was for the producer and a few other crew members, and everyone really responded well to the film, and it just felt really like special. And of course, another premiere, you know, was not shown in Berlin anywhere else.
That's crazy. I know. That's crazy.
Not in Germany? Did it have a German premiere somewhere else?
I didn't want to say German because I'm not entirely sure. I just know about Berlin. I can check later if you like.
I think it may have also been a German premiere. Yeah, that was, it was also.
It wouldn't surprise me because distribution for that was like crazy. It didn't come out in America until like a year later. Like you guys showed it in 2017?
19. It was like towards the end of its festival run.
Leah, it was really nice that that room was so packed. There were like people sitting on the stairs even, which, you know, fire.
Really?
Passing. But it was really, we wanted to let everyone in also because of there being cast and crew present. It was just like, okay, we have to pack this place. And it was a really nice feeling to have people show up in such numbers for that.
I would say that's one of the clear highlights. And just the casual, like even last time talking to audience members and them being like, oh, we've been here like four times, and like I don't even recognize them. You know, like it's just become much bigger than what we could have hoped, really. And I mean, like the first time around it was like, you know, friends and friends of friends. So it was much smaller, and now it's just kind of it's not really manageable like that anymore.
People are traveling to see this, you know, and not just the people that, like me, we pay to come, you know. So I think that is remarkable.
Yeah, that was a great moment. But for me, like the last edition, like I'm not just saying this because you're giving us the interview, but I loved your talk. I loved having a talk on queer spectators and I just, I was just like totally enamored of everything that you were going into. And I love that. And I also love the Black Women in Horror panel this year. I know that Ellie probably was like saving that for me to say, because you knew that you'd be taking the best highlight if you said. That was amazing. All three presenters were just phenomenal and talked about such like nuanced themes, like the evolution of the mammy figure in cinema and how it manifested in later horror films and so many things. I mean, I think everyone in the room just felt like extremely grateful to be there. They were like, wow, like we had no idea our minds were going to be blown like repeatedly in this talk. And it was super nice to have you all coming in and sharing your expertise. And I think with each year, that's kind of, it's getting better and better, and it's really nice. Also, she wasn't able to make it this time, but Toby Poser, who made, along with her husband and her daughter, they made such amazing films, Hellbender and The Deeper You Dig, which we showed in 2020. She was there in 2020, but not for Hellbender, unfortunately, because of COVID, you know, difficulties traveling. But showing Hellbender was awesome, and I told my bandmates to come because I also play in a metal band, right? Self-promotion right now. We always have our songs in the trailers of the festival. So if you want to hear Aptera, you can look at the festival trailers. And I invited them all to come and watch Hellbender, in which this like mother and daughter witch duo have a rock band. And I just felt like it was really exciting to share that film with them as well and be like, to get excited about that together, you know? And it was like, I think it was during our Halloween edition this past Halloween, right? Am I getting that right?
No, Hellbender, it was February.
Oh, that was February. Yeah. And I have another memory of my bandmate in her like Edward Scissorhand costume coming to a film, but I guess that was Relic. She came to Relic in that costume. anyway, there are so many highlights that it's impossible to even to like pick one. I'm remembering last edition because it was so amazing, but I feel like every time we have experiences where we're just like extremely grateful that this event is happening and that people are coming and showing their support and engagement, and the amount of it's hard to pick highlights because there have been really so many of them actually.
You mentioned Toby Poser, and that made me think that we have some filmmakers. Of course, we love everyone, but there's some filmmakers that are kind of like just like, I feel like not ownership over, but like we just kind of like we really love them and we want to highlight everything they do, you know. And I would say Toby Poser at this point is one of them. And
Laura Moss. Yeah, I knew. I was thinking of Laura Moss. She came to one of our editions as well.
Two actually.
She came to two of them.
Yeah.
And we just always had a lot of fun. Her films are amazing. Friday and Alan Anders and
Neurotica.
Was there a third one?
Yeah, that Neurotica. She
made? Neurotica, that was really fun. Yeah, that was not, it was like dark sci-fi humor.
Yeah. And like Natalie Erica James, who now made Relic, is working on a new film with Julia Garner, right.
Oh, really? She's like an it girl right now.
Yeah.
Natalie Erica James made a really amazing short film called Creswick, which we showed everywhere in like all of our best of shorts programs. So I just remember that being this film where people would come afterwards and be like, that film scared me. Like all the films were amazing, but that one really scared the shit out of me. And like, that was the comment we got over and over. And it was so cool to show her feature as well, which is a different kind of scary for sure, but like very nuanced film.
And this short kind of laid the foundation for her feature.
A kind of good segue into a question about your programs, because yes, we're more focused on talking about films and whatnot. And I think obviously, I mean, you guys are called Final Girls Film Festival. The point is to watch some films, right? But I think maybe one of the most exciting and cool things about what you all do is that it's not just films, right? This past edition, you had like how to create your own zine, horror zine, we're giving lectures, panels. We right now, and I want to talk about this in a little bit, we have your Brain Binge coming up in June. So it's clear that you guys care more about than just the films, right? And so can you talk a little bit about how it came to be to include these other subcultural aspects of horror communities in your program?
We have somewhat academic backgrounds, but not in such a hardcore sense that we're pursuing careers in academia. This was for us as well, just watching films. We always found discussion and analysis to be an important part of our process and what we're excited and enthused by. So I can't remember exactly how it came about, like who said it first, but I feel like it was just naturally always a part of it. Like, oh yeah, we should have someone come and give talks. Like we should just post about it on our social media and see if somebody wants to come and give a talk. And I think one of our first, in 2018, somebody who came to show a film, Elizabeth Shook, I'm not sure if I'm saying her name right, she gave a storyboarding workshop. So she just like proposed that and we're like, yeah, totally. And then a researcher from Pittsburgh, whose name is Sophia, maybe you know her full name.
Lufer?
Sophia Lufer.
Yeah, yeah.
She came and talked about women and vampires, I think mostly in literature, in horror literature, if I remember correctly. But so that was our earliest time of that, and I can't even remember if we were able to pay them for, like extra for that. I mean, I'm sure we paid something. It was early on though, and it wasn't planned, but we were just like, yeah, we'll get something together. I think at the very beginning, no, I'm skipping some steps because those weren't the first talks. In 2017, my mom and I gave a talk about horror hags. So
amazing!
That was amazing.
What a highlight!
Of course. I mean, why am I not listing that as a highlight? Right, like that obviously comes to mind as well, and that was amazing. You know, RIP my mother, she died in 2020, so that could be as well why it's not coming immediately to mind, because I'm like, you know, trying not to get extremely emotional on this podcast. But yeah, that was, we did that in our first year, and we had another couple of talks from some people who were Berlin based, who at that time we just handed around a jar. I remember that specifically in 2017. We're just like, put your money in the jar. And that's what the presenters are getting. And yeah, so I'm glad we've been able to move beyond that. Yeah, so I guess it probably, like, just from talking about horror hags together with Ellie, like, we, like, it became, it, like, came into being, this idea that, like, sure, like, I want to give this talk, and my mom's going to come to the festival, and we should talk about it together. And then, like, yeah, it just became a tradition. But I don't know, yeah, Ellie, do you have anything more to say about how it started, or, like, why it's important to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as you mentioned, this sort of, like, in a way, this kind of laying a foundation to what we're also watching, like, to have that kind of in our minds as we watch all these films is really, I think, enriching. And it just, yeah, it just really goes hand in hand. Of course, you know, not everyone goes to our talks, that goes, but it's still, like, you know, we're happy with the crowds we get. And it's been really, and I mean, the response, like, this time around, the reason why we had this brain binge event is because we just had so many abstracts sent to us that we couldn't fit it into one edition, you know? And so we were at that point where it's just like, there's an overflow of, like, enthusiasm and, yeah, great
ideas. We still had to be selective, even with having six additional talks, it was still not even the half of what we received. Yeah. So yeah, that was... It was nice to be in that position, actually, of having such an amazing amount of compelling ideas presented to us.
Definitely. And
how cool that we get to hear from you again as well.
I mean, I'm so beyond honored. And this is actually a talk I've never done before. So you guys are getting a premiere, so to speak. Brain Binge is coming up, which I am just so excited for, because... I mean, of course, I would love to be traveling to Berlin. I miss Berlin so much. I literally was, you know, just talking about you guys and also the food, you know, me and the food in Berlin, and, like, and it's painful. But yeah, I mean, the fact that it's, like, so accessible and there's going to be such a wide range of talks. So let's talk a little bit about Brain Binge. Like, it came out sort of like you guys had this overflow of abstracts. It wasn't like just like an immediate thought, like, okay, we'll just do another event. Or how did Brain Binge come to be?
Yeah, we just didn't want to say no to all these great ideas and great abstracts. And we decided, yeah, the summer, there's always kind of a lull, you know, after like pretty much three back-to-back editions, we felt like this is kind of a low-key event where we can handle it. Hopefully, we'll see. It was very diverse, like the things that we are going to be showing on June 11th. That's a Saturday. We're going to have All Going to Laugh at You, an exploration of gender, of the gender of death, emotion, and the final girl by Taryn O'Reilly. Then at 7 CET, it's I Am She, the Witch Archetype and Patriarchal Disruption by Tori Potenza. And then at 9 CT, it's Inner Hauntings, Memories, Visions, and Haunted Houses in Women-Led Horror Films by Dr. Kate Robertson. And then June 12th, it's an exploration of the librarian and horror by Dr. Katrin Zeller. I think she's German, at 5. And then there's Beyond a Freak Show, a disability and horror panel with Ariel Baska and Rabia Satabi. And then last but not least, it's you at 9 CET, The Monstrous Feminine and Political Objection.
Just so great. I mean, like, I'm excited, but I'm just so excited to see these other. And it's, I feel, I'm sorry not to assume identities here, but I feel like it's all women scholars as well, which is just always, like, so exciting for me. I still am, like, starry-eyed when I meet people and as you all said, when you did your February edition, I learned so much from the Black women panel, but also you guys did a book launch in February. Super exciting, you know, hearing and seeing those women have the space to be able to break down their film to a really interested audience, whether there's 5 or 25 people there. I think it makes such a huge difference. And I just learned so much. I think what you guys do is was just so important for the horror community overall, especially during the pandemic times where, you know, everything sort of is online and it gives a safe and informational space to, you know, a community that sometimes is not really safe online, especially within marginalized identities. And so I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're excited too. And just to remind people, because sometimes I get time zones totally wrong. So all of those times are Central European time. I know you said CET, but some people might be hearing EST or just not even questioning
it. Or Central Time, yeah.
Yeah, so
in the US, it would be like East Coast 6 hours behind.
6 hours earlier. So like, yeah, if the first talk is at 5 p.m., then you have to tune in at 11 a.m. if you're on the East Coast. If you're on the West Coast, then that's early in the morning for you. But still doable. It's not in the middle of the night for... Well, unless maybe you're in Australia. I haven't figured out where that is. It's what, 10 hours later?
Time zones are a thing.
It's tricky, yeah.
Then it gets tricky. But yeah, we're super excited for it. And it's like 2 days before my birthday. So I feel like it's my like birthday present.
Oh, nice. Well, happy Gemini season. amazing. It falls on Pride weekend here in DC. So I feel like, again, it's even more special, especially because DC Pride is not cool. So it's a good excuse for me to stay in. Right. So Brain Binge is coming up. And so what are you guys kind of working on right now? You did say applications are open, right? So would the next in-person edition be in February of next year?
That's right. Yes.
Do you know when applications are going to close out or has that not been decided yet?
It's a very long application period. You can pretty much submit almost all year except for like between December and, I don't know, March or something.
Everyone's depressed at that time anyway.
November 8th is our late deadline. Right now it's the early bird until June 17th.
Okay, that's great information to know.
And you have lower fees as well. We try to keep our fees low anyway compared to most film festivals. And for those who...
It stayed the same.
People often do write to us and ask for a fee waiver and we always grant one. So if you can't afford the fee, then just send an email.
Amazing. And you guys accept shorts, you guys accept feature films, anything you want to mention?
I mean, with feature films, we probably wouldn't show a film directed by a cis man.
We definitely wouldn't show a film directed by a cis man. That's a 100% sure thing.
Some people kind of, because we have the explicit like question, you know, was your film directed by, and some people just say yes, and then you see the credits and it's not the case. I mean, it's rare, but like some people kind of feel like they want to fool you or something, which is really ridiculous.
And that's also what submission fees help us to weed out, because if you just have free fees, then everyone sends you their film and it's just as a waste of labor to have to sift through things that are not relevant to the festival.
That's what we learned the first time around. We didn't have these questions and it was unfiltered and way too much and not a lot of it was relevant to us. So yeah, we got wiser there. So.
Well, that's really exciting. I can't wait to see how next year shapes up. If you all have like, and this is maybe a lofty question, so if you don't have an immediate answer, that's A-okay. But do you have any like hopes or long-term goals for the festival right now that may not be fully realized right now? Or, you know, things that you hope to do in the future? I know you talked a little bit about funding for short filmmakers. And I think that's amazing. But just overall, maybe bigger picture, more little things.
Well, I guess international stuff that we're doing is always exciting to us. We did a curation for a museum in Madrid called La Casa and Candida. I'm not sure if I'm saying
which is amazing, by the way. I'm surprised we haven't mentioned that yet. I think it's so incredible that you guys have literal international showcases everywhere, it seems.
It feels really nice. We also, we had something in a film festival in Mumbai called the Wench Film Festival. We had a guest curation there as well. And I mean, I don't want the festival to take credit, but I think that our festival is playing a role in also inspiring a lot of these smaller festivals to crop up. Like
there's also one in Chile.
Yeah, there's Final Girls Chile. That was like, that felt really nice.
That's amazing.
For both of us, yeah. To like be like, oh, we're inspiring these people. And like, a filmmaker that we showed, whose film we showed in our very first edition, whose name is escaping me, Sam something. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Sam, who made the film Milk, later created the film festival called Out for Blood, which is a queer film festival in the UK.
Cambridge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have the shirt from that and I proudly wear it all the time. And yeah, Sam said to me later on that Final Girls was their biggest inspiration for creating Out for Blood. So anyway, now I'm just bragging. So I'll try to come get back on.
I mean, earned bragging though. How often do we, that's why, like, again, not to sound like I'm such a big stan, though I am. I have no shame in saying that. I used a tote bag that you guys gave us regularly. And the last time I was at school doing a screening, what, like the lead of the equipment was like, look at this tote bag. She's a legit, you know, she's changing the world with this because she's being recognized internationally. Like, I don't think you guys realize how much your recognition does actually change our lives directly. And I think it's great that you're humble, but also you earned it. And I think that's why it makes it so easy for people like me and your other collaborators to be like, yeah, we always want to come back. We always want to give back because you guys are so giving and you've done such impressive work, period. Like, I don't know if I had, just hearing you talk about the film festival logistics, it was funny. I thought about it when you were talking earlier about how you guys aren't academics. And as someone in academia, right in the middle of a PhD program, like, I don't think people realize just how important it is to have very well-educated and open-minded people in cultural spaces. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to become an academic after this. I would probably want to do something like start a foundation, which film festivals in many ways run a lot like foundations anyway. So just so much credit to you all because it's so impressive and it's so important.
Thank you. To come back to academia, actually, lately, one of the things I've been wanting to do more of, but I haven't quite managed to put into effect, you know, here and there we've managed over the years, but I do want to be more active in like visiting schools, even high schools.
Yeah.
But primarily, I would want to like start with like targeting different film studies programs at,
totally.
For example, at women's colleges, because I went to Bryn Mawr, which is a women's college.
Yeah.
And We showed something there once in like a student film club showed our films there. Did we have anything in a class there yet? I don't think so. But I really want to because, I mean, I attended film studies classes there and I had a women in cinema class where we were shown specifically films directed by women, which were very inspiring to me. But I would have loved to see like more of an accessible and like contemporary look at like what's, you know, many students are doing or like what, you know, things that are more outside the canon, the way that horror is.
This is such a great idea because I can tell you as someone that like deals with film students regularly and whatnot, I think one thing that is always going to be mystified, no matter how many times you give a workshop on Film Freeway and whatnot, is like, oh, what do film festivals do? How do I apply to film festivals? How do I make those choices? And I think it's because a lot of film festivals themselves, and to be frank, a lot of them just don't have the time and space, not like the big ones, but, you know, to like go to classes and be like, this is how you do it. These are some examples of things that I've shown at our festivals. Yes, we want to encourage you to sign up and it's totally doable. You don't have to be, you know, Ari Aster, you know, to get accepted. Well, especially you can't be Ari Aster to get accepted into Final Girls Film Festival. But yeah, I think that is such a great idea. And I hope that you guys are able to do that. If you ever come back to the DC area, I would love to have you in one of my classes, like, because I think that is what truly excites students, seeing that it is possible, it is acceptable. This person is in my classroom telling me and encouraging me. And I never had that in film school, actually. And it probably would have changed so much of my perception if I did, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And I think, hopefully it could be inspiring, not just for filmmakers, but for film, you know, students who are writing criticism and who are writing.
Yeah, I'm a researcher. So they come in my class, they're like, I'm ready to make films. And I'm like, nope, time to read.
Also, like, I didn't know that working for a film festival or like having, you know, organizing my own with a fun team and friends would even be possible. Like, I,
yeah,
that's not something that was discussed in my studies yeah. at all. So same. I was just like, yeah. all right, I'm here. I guess I'm going into academia until I realized it was making me miserable and I didn't want to do yeah. that. And I no, had to like yeah. learn elsewhere what was around in film culture.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it would be nice for folks to see that like it's an accessible thing and it's a space where various kinds of expertise are valued and welcome and compensated as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It reminded me of, we did have a few of these moments with the universities, right?
There was, yeah, we went to a class in Norway and a class in Hamburg.
Yeah, yeah. So
that, and
yeah.
also we did something at the Technische Universität in Berlin as well.
Right.
So we've done, yeah, we've done a few things. So it's,
here and there,
it's
can be more.
Yeah, it's not that we've never done it, but I think it would be great to do it even more.
Yeah, I've been saying this for a while. I like knowing that filmmakers are also connecting at the fest and collaborating from that. And so like, you know, something that kind of inspires me is something like the Frontiers Market at Fantasia, you know, like actually mm-hmm. like an actual lab pitching and all that. So, I mean, I don't know how realistic that is. We are still very niche and, you know, I don't know who would actually come in terms of the business side of the things, but that is something that I would very much welcome that or kind of want to think about that maybe a little bit down the line.
Yeah. Some festivals also have like a, like Exposed in Berlin has like a queer film fund where you can like come and pitch your film and then a panel of judges choose a film that gets this grant.
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm.
I think it's a relatively small sum, but it also includes like rental equipment from a local, mm-hmm. You know, a camera rental store.
Right.
So there are different ways to support films in their earlier stages, I think, that we could start thinking about.
I think that's super exciting and actually something that I think is just so doable because at that point, what you guys are doing is film producing. And I think that's a very natural step to film curating. I mean, that's essentially what you guys have been doing. So I have no doubt that, I mean, to me, you guys have grown quite a bit. You have connected so many different international communities and people together. But I think definitely if I had to be like, as a fan, be like, oh, what I hope that they do next, I think hopefully one day down the line, you guys have a little bit more funding to do something like that, because I think they would be just so unique. And then like, you know, seeing a film produced by Final Girls Film Festival, you know, their team, I think that is super exciting. And again, puts you even further more unique and establishing your taste and brand, whatever that means, right? But it's really amazing. That's so exciting. So I hope you guys are able to accomplish something like that eventually.
Thanks. I hope so too. Yeah. Now all the ideas are proliferating. I'm like, ooh, what about like a script contest? And like, what about?
Oh yeah.
You know, there's all these different ways. To get involved in these early stages, I think.
I will take a special thanks credit in the program.
Also, the thing that Allison Pierce is doing right now that I feel like is worth mentioning because it's still in the process, isn't it?
It yeah. is. I can. Yeah,
right, May is actually part of this. Yeah,
I am.
You know more yeah. about it. You probably can talk more eloquently about it than I can.
So well, maybe I guess if you, yeah, I can literally actually like begin to pull this up. But yeah, what it was is this was all through MAI, which is like a visual culture journal based in the UK, right? Is that right? Do you guys know?
I think it's actually Sweden, maybe.
Okay, it's based in Europe. I noticed that. And so it was a call for proposals back in March for writing global women's horror. So it was specifically like, this is a research mentorship. It's for 2 years. Like the first year is you was, you know, writing this like five, I think it's like 5,000 words, which is not a lot, honestly, on like a case study of a certain woman in global horror, but specifically Allison's and Allison Pierce who is just like a rock star in academia. Her essay films have played at your festival before, but before I knew anything, I started in the horror community, like officially more in 2018 when I was given my class. And the first person I read was Allison Pierce. And so she is like this, she's like the Lady Gaga of academia to me. I think she's like such a star. So I was already like, oh my God, she's running this. I have to apply. But in the call for papers, she emphasizes like, we're looking at not America. We're looking at not most of Europe. We really want to build like a global women's horror case study. It's called Doing Women's Global Horror Film History. And yeah, I got accepted. Well, I got accepted. I actually am like the only one that technically doesn't have a case study. I'm talking about the absence of women in Caribbean genre horror, because overall my PhD is about Caribbean film industries. But all of the fun stuff that I do is horror studies because it's like my passion and whatnot. So it was like, it's the only thing right now that is fusing my two worlds together. And I'm so excited. But the list is just remarkable. It's like a lot of, you know, people I'd never heard of, but people also talking about films made by women, horror films made by women in Nigeria and things like that. And I just like, I can't wait. But anyway, long story short, sorry for the ramble. At the end of our mentorship, because we're writing a chapter, but we're also making essay films or video essays, I think is what she's calling them. And this whole program of video essays made through this mentorship is going to screen at one of your future editions, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's insane. That was a huge pull for me. Mainly because, again, I love you guys so much, but I can't wait just to see all of these different films together. I mean, having a program of video essays is going to be really unique for you all overall.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really excited about it. I guess it's going to be 2024, probably, right? That's the idea.
Probably. I don't know.
Funny memory. I went to, oh my God, what is her name? Villegas Lindvall. What's her? Valeria.
Yeah.
I went to her PhD defense, and Allison Pierce was one of her questioners. What do you call that? One of her
On the committee.
She was on the committee. She was one of her advisors, I think, who was like
amazing
part of the questioning process. And I'm like, it was just great to see this like overlap. And we've had really that should also be among our highlights. We've had a couple of brilliant talks from Valeria over the years, one about like the bad mother in Mexican horror, and other about furious women of various kinds in Latin American cinema. And yeah, so she's just a regular.
When I was nervous, I would go to her, and she may be a bigger fan than me, though I'll fight her for it. But she was like, don't worry, it's going to be so amazing. They're the best team. So, I mean, I think, again, while I love to see you guys grow, and I hope that you all keep growing, and especially the way that you contribute, not only to like, I keep talking about like the online international horror community, but also what you guys do in Berlin. Like, Berlin is just the coolest place in the world. And you guys, I mean, I saw your stuff advertised almost everywhere in Berlin as well. I'm going to out myself. I was a little bit on the dating apps in Berlin just because I was curious. And I put in my dating app, like, only here in Berlin for Final Girls Film Festival, which, by the way, got some attendees out of me. But yeah, they would be like, oh, that sounds so cool. Can't wait to go, blah, blah, blah. You leave such a great impression on people. And that might be maybe the biggest highlight is that as a person who's not a people person, the fact that you have so many positive experiences that have built so much community, like, that's crazy. That's like some top tier life, meaningful life shit, you know?
It's just one last thing. She always talks about films that we've shown, and she always cites us. She's always like, this has been shown at Final Girls Berlin Film Festival in this year. And we're like, that's one of my favorite moments, like, and when we're watching these talks, is like, we're seeing that, like, you know, it's part of a community, you know? It feels like part of this kind of Like, it's like a shared language, and it's also...
It's a citing. We're citing our sources. And that's so important, to cite women who get so erased in history. And
like celebrating each other, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're celebrating...
It's never competition.
Celebrating those films together.
Yeah. It's only just, like, how we learn from each other, even when we have different opinions. Like, it's so, like... Yeah, no, it's just so great. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I already am going a little bit over. So I guess we'll wrap up. What is the best horror film you've seen this year so far? And it's totally okay if it was part of your program, because my answer is probably something that was on your program.
This year. Let me pull up my Letterboxd.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to remind me of something, because Ellie and I have our own little film club with our friend Jeff.
You guys went to Berlinale. How was the Argenta? I don't think you ever told me.
I don't want to say anything about a film I didn't like, so I'm...
Okay. All right, there you go. Moving on.
Originally. No, I think Hellbender was honestly my favorite film of 2022. I adored Hellbender. So it's an easy answer for me. I was trying to think if anything else, like, even competed with it. But no, Hellbender was just like my heart film. You know what I mean? It's one of those films where I'm like, I'm going to recommend that for my whole life to, like, every awesome woman I know, you know, and queer person as well, and rocker. So, yeah.
Everyone, let the cis men also have it, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's true. I went to a comic book festival, Comic Invasion, and someone asked me for horror recs, and I just gave him a whole list of female directed horror, like Hellbender.
Yeah, no, that's what it should be like.
Yeah.
I think my answer is You Are Not My Mother. I have tried to make everyone watch that movie. Ever since it came out, I was just so glad that you guys let me watch it, because I keep thinking, when would I ever watch this in a theater? And the answer is never. It only went to digital here, and that's it.
Really intense. We have a lot of films exploring mother-daughter relationships, which I love. And that was one of the highlights for sure.
Yeah.
Also, Good Madam was great. That was a film that I was really happy and proud to present to an audience.
I feel like I've used COVID and stuff to also explore older films. You know?
Yeah. You guys did a screening of, I forget the title, but it was a 90s film. I remember that.
Yes.
If you had your first viewing of that in 2022, then that's also a highlight. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's another thing about, like, the whole process, is that this movie Kissed, we've been trying to get at for pretty much since the beginning of the fest, and it's just been a whole journey with other distributors and legal fees and whatnot, and it's just really nice to just, like, know, okay, we made it, like, it's actually screening. Yeah. And we never thought it would happen, but it, you know, so there's a whole, like, kind of background and story and history with all these films as well
that kind of, we've loved that film for years. We've been talking about that film forever. I love the story that it's based on, by Barbara Gowdy. I don't know if you've read the short story it's based on.
I haven't.
It's called We So Seldom Look on Love. So I can also recommend horror by a female author. Yeah, it's amazing. Check it out.
And so something recently that I watched for the first time was The Haunting of Julia with Mia Farrow.
Like, oh, interesting.
Film that I really loved.
Yeah.
And another film from our fest that I also really appreciated was We Are All Going to the World's Fair.
Oh, yeah. That's finally starting to, like, make waves here. So you guys made me feel cool. I was like, oh, yeah, I've already saw it. I'm already part of this conversation.
Nice. Another film that I watched for the first time, directed by a woman through Cathode, which, if people don't know about Cathode, it's the best thing ever. It's like this film curation series on Instagram, and it was like they kind of promoted on Instagram. It's actually on, you know, computer on the stream, and every day it's like a different themed marathon.
Drop the link, because there was something like that called The Cinephobe that I was obsessed with during the pandemic. They were based in New York, but they stopped last year, which, I mean, to be fair, doing like free streaming of obscure films 24/7, that's God's work, whatever God, Satan's work, whoever, but it is good work.
Exactly.
But it's also thankless, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but I'm very thankful. Very, very thankful.
Well, you need to drop that link in the chat. Can't wait. Okay, that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Yes. 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 It's amazing. I'm in awe. Again. So that's my rec. But also, so through that, I watched, Mario Sato's, The Boy from Hell.
Oh, nice. I've been wanting to watch more of her work. It's just hard to find.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they find these. I mean, they have like this endless archive. It's a mystery.
You know, the archives are somewhere on the webs.
Yes. So that.
I think I watched Don't Deliver Us from Evil for the first time through Cathode. Right.
Oh, yeah. I think, was that the 70s one? Yes. 50, I did not like that one.
It's pretty messed up. But I appreciated the ending. The ending I liked. I'm not going to say it's my favorite film of any.
After like three rape scenes we got there.
Yeah. You know, you can just edit that out if you don't want to talk about that.
No. I always love trashing movies. Also,
so one thing we watched this year that's worth mentioning is Master. It also has a female director, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the Diallo?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Also, we showed Herewolf, her short.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah.
So it's all connected. Yeah.
Yeah, we watched that together at another festival here in Berlin called the Fantasy Film Fest, which
is like the mainstream horror festival here.
More of a mainstream horror fest. It does not have much of a sense of community. Not that I want to trash it at all, but I do think we're doing something very different from them. But they did show Hatching. They do usually show a couple films directed by women each year, though they're in the minority for sure.
Also don't feel like we necessarily. Like it's not a big deal if they show a film because we have kind of
our audience is different.
And
yeah, totally.
Let's see, films that I am looking forward to. I think Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon by Anna Lily Amanpour.
Nice.
Yeah, that seems interesting, like a girl with unusual powers, New Orleans film. I don't know. Bodies.
I just finally saw the trailer for that and I was like, I could imagine the marketing room for that film, but I'm still excited to see it. Interracial queerness in that one.
I mean, it's probably going to be, it's silly and, but who knows?
Silly. You guys had, the Canadian short, The Werewolf High. Was that what it was called?
Oh yeah,
your teen gay teen werewolf.
Gay teen werewolf. That was one of the films where I was, and major props to that filmmaker. But I was just like, this feels like a Disney film, and I mean that in a good and it's kind of a good way. Sorry, I mean that in a good way. Where it's just like it's so pop and silly, but that's so much fun. I mean, Monster Dyke won the best of short and. I mean, there's so many layers to that one, but I definitely think like camp and silliness is like, I mean, that's also what's so beautiful about horror is it's not
it's
just
so well, though. It's like, it's just on point camp.
Yeah.
Totally.
Let me just continue two more.
Please.
Okay. So Tiger Stripes, directed by Amanda Nell Yu, which we also showed. She's a Malaysian filmmaker.
Nice.
And
okay.
We showed some of her shorts and they were fantastic. So
awesome.
Looking forward to that, like a coming of age horror film, which I'm always about. And then speaking of Issa Lopez, she has a new she has a lot of projects going on, but apparently she's going to have an untitled, it's now untitled, werewolf Western film.
I can't wait for her stuff. I think she is I don't want to trash too many people, but there's been a couple female filmmakers coming out of Mexico that have been a bit more prolific. But Issa is the one where I'm like, no, I can tell she takes her time because her films are just like packed to the second. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she's only made one film. And yeah, this idea of a werewolf Western, sign us up. I mean, that's yeah. That may be like my most anticipated nebulous film as well. Yeah, so awesome. Well, thank you all so much for sitting down and talking with me. I had such a pleasure talking to you guys and you know, helping give you guys even more of a platform. And I just hope you continue on and on and on and on. And you guys are so important, and I'm so happy to have had this time with you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being such a lovely, like lovely interviewer, but also like the things you said, really special and really mean a lot. So thank you for that.